Okay, everyone have a lesson this morning. There's also a full set. We ran out of full sets, and there are several of you need a full set of lessons, and I'll get those. If there are any others that need a full set, please let me know. So we had some questions for you to answer on premillennialism, and we'll go ahead and get started right away. So we're engaging in study, and our first question here is, why should we study premillennialism according to these verses? Also note through the study that I've abbreviated premillennialism with the word PM. So as you go through the lesson material, you ever see PM, it's not AM, PM, but it's referring to this particular doctrine. So I gave you several verses there, so how did you answer that? Why should we study this subject according to these verses? Okay. Any others? If you look at the NIV, and there's different, these scriptures basically have the same point, but I'm going to go ahead and use the from the NIV from 1 Thessalonians 5, is to test everything. New American Standard has examine everything carefully. So what kind of statement is this? So test everything. What kind of statement is that? It's a command, right? And who is issuing the command? Who's issuing the command? Who's telling us to do this? Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, it is our Lord. So do you ever think about when you study false doctrine like premillennialism, that is commanded that we test everything? That's what it's saying, right? Now, because who God is, who Christ is, and the Holy Spirit is, we need to obey because He's the author, we are His subjects, and we should obey. And sometimes in Scripture we find that we are given an issue or a command here, and sometimes we're given reasons, sometimes we're not given reasons. In this particular case, if you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-22, there's some reasons why we should test everything. What do you see there in that verse, why we should test everything? To avoid evil. Note that when you read that verse, that you hold on to good, you avoid evil. So that's why we need to be tested everything. We need to hold up, you know, avoid evil, hold on to what is good. Now, your friends and your neighbors, that they may know you're a Christian, you go to the Humble Church of Christ, and politically they may say you are an evangelical Christian. You've probably heard that term. Maybe you consider yourself an evangelical Christian or not, but I want to read from you from an article from the Washington Post, dated May 14, 2018. And this is the title of this article. It says, half of the evangelicals support Israel because it is important to fulfill end-time prophecy. And if you go on and look at this particular article and read in the article, read a couple of quotes here. It says, in December, Lifeway Research conducted a poll evaluating the views of evangelical Americans on issues related to Israel and the politics of the Middle East. And then down below it says, among the questions was one about the biblical promise of the Holy Land to Abraham and his descendants. Two-thirds of the respondents strongly agreed that the promised, and listen to this, was an eternal one from God. And it goes on in this article, and it quotes a guy, Robert Jeffries, who's a Southern Baptist preacher. He said this to CNN. He says, Jerusalem, he said, is the touchstone of prophecy. That prophecy is the biblical prophecy of the return of Jesus Christ and the beginning of the rapture, the end times. Well, do you want your friends to think that you believe in these things? Now, so be careful. People might consider you to be an evangelical Christian, and they may be thinking that you believe in these type of things. Well, should you be attached to these things? We're supposed to avoid evil. We're going to find that that what we read here in this quote, this article, we find is going to be contrary to the Word of God. You had some other scriptures. What about this next set of scriptures? Why should we study this doctrine based on these scriptures? Right. You may know how you should respond to each person. So, here's something just come up here recently. Maybe you've already heard this war in Ukraine. Have you heard this thing that Putin is the Antichrist? If someone who comes to you, you know you're a Christian, you study your Bible, says, isn't Antichrist in the Bible? Well, is Putin Antichrist? How are you going to respond to that? Is Antichrist in the Bible? And what is Antichrist in the Bible? There'll be many other questions that will be coming up here. About, you're going to hear about the words, the rapture and the millennium and all these things that happen in world affairs right now. They may start asking about it. Well, is this in the Bible? Is there prophecies about that? People are saying there are. Well, how are you going to respond to that? So this is a reason why we need to study the subject. Okay, we had a third verse to look at, or third set, Romans 10:17. What about this one here? Right. We build our faith by hearing the Word of God. Now, you know from your personal experience, when you talk to someone about the Bible or about false doctrine, they'll bring up verses to you that you may never heard about, or maybe you heard the verse, but they take an angle you never expected. So you've got to go and search that and study it. What is that? What's that about? In this particular study, as we study this thing, it's going to build our faith about the Bible. And what's interesting about this particular study is we're going to be studying the Bible from the beginning to the end. We're going to go be in Genesis. We're going to go through the prophecies. We're going to the New Testament, the Gospels, some passages, go to Revelation. And we're going to be bringing up these passages that people will use to support this doctrine. Well, how do you defend that? Well, you got to go and do some work and do some study. And so it's going to build your faith. You're going to grow as a result of this particular study. And the last one we have, the last set of verses, Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 4. What about those verses? What does this tell us of why we should study this doctrine? Right. One version says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit. Or being diligent. That word, ing, we know in the English, that's present participle. It's a verb that means it's a continuous tense. You endeavor, you do that in the past, you do that now, you continue in the future. You always do that. You're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And in verses 4 through 6 is 7 ones. And one of them is one hope. Now, preliminaries, their hope is if you're faithful and the rapture comes, your body's going to go to heaven. Not just your soul, your whole body going to heaven. And then for those who weren't faithful, who weren't Christians, well, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation. And maybe if you convert then there'll be the resurrection of the tribulation saints. And then you're going to have this 1,000-year reign on earth where you have this peace. So Christ is going to come back, second coming. That's their hope. But wait a minute, the Bible is only one hope. That's not the hope I read about the Bible, right? Well, we have to endeavor to keep that. So when they start presenting these things, well, I see here that we're not, you know, we're supposed to, you know, go to the Scripture and see what the Holy Spirit says. And we see clearly that's not what the Bible teaches. Yes?
Before you go to your next point, you have that one. The ability to say, good point. The premillennial doctrine actually undermines faith for this reason. Over the years, they have repeatedly quoted verses and said, this is the end. Here's what these verses be. Hal Lindsey, his late great planet Earth, said that back in the 70s. So the end times have been predicted supposedly on the basis of Scripture. If I'm outside looking in, and these guys are saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and it doesn't happen, what happens to my faith in the Scripture? And they're doing that again. They're ramping up now with this Ukrainian war. Some, at least, renowned guys on television and so forth, saying, this is it. And so, it undermines faith. This kind of teaching actually undermines faith in the Scripture. So
good point.
That we understand the truth of what you're talking about.
Good point, Steve. Second question. Actually, look up this word in various different sources. And the first one is, how is the word premillennialism defined in the dictionary? What did you find as a definition? Right. We're going to see that over and over again. It's a noun. The doctor believed the second coming of Christ will precede the millennium. That's a dictionary.com source. Then I asked you to look at other sources. How is premillennialism defined in the encyclopedia and other sources? Is there anything different or unique that you want to add to the previous one? Let me read from Wikipedia how it defines premillennialism. So premillennialism, as we go through this study, there's certain keywords you can see popping up over and over again. So pay attention to these words. Wikipedia says premillennialism in Christian and times theology. End times, you're going to be hearing a lot about that in this study. The end times theology is the belief that Christ will literally reign on the earth 1,000 years, the millennium, at his second coming. Then it goes on and says, premillennialism is largely based upon a literal interpretation of Revelation 20, 1 through 6 in the New Testament, which describes Christ coming to the earth and subsequent reign at the end of an epileptic period of tribulation. It views this future age as a time of fulfillment for the prophetic hope of Christ's people as given in the Old Testament. So you see here, and one thing you see by the study, they're using a lot of Bible passages. You know, they're using the Bible to support this doctrine. Okay, now I ask you to take the Word. Sometimes we learn things by looking at the Word. The Word has a lot of information to it. Sometimes we skip over that. This next question here is, divide the word premillennialism into three parts and define each part. So what were the, it's an easy question, but what are the three parts?
First part is before.
Right.
The second part is 1,000 years. And the last part is the millennium.
Right. So pre, before, millennium. Remember, you know, back in 1999 when the millennium came, the year 2000, everyone was concerned about all the computers failing, everything going to pot. Well, that was the millennium. And so millennium is 1,000 years. Ism is, of course, a distinct doctrine or theory system or devotion or adherence to whatever is attached to it. So simply, we'll use the definition. You heard it, and you've probably seen the same definition. We're going to use it in this class of what premillennialism is. Very simple. Just look at the word. It's a doctrine that Christ's second coming will come before a 1,000-year reign of the kingdom on earth. So that will be our definition. Now, one of the issues that I have personally, and I've come across, you've probably already noticed that already, sometimes I have problems with pronunciation of words. So, you know, it's kind of, you're going to be talking to someone about premillennialism. One, you may not be pronouncing it right. You may not spell it right. Well, that doesn't lead a lot of credence to you trying to defend the faith. So as we look at false doctrine, we need to understand the doctrine to say it correctly. So premillennialism, you see here, is six syllables. Remember, there's always two L's, two N's, and an E between the doubles. Premillennialism. And the way it's pronounced is premillennialism. So can we all say that? Premillennialism? Premillennialism. Okay, good. So let's go on now to some words. I had a bunch of words I asked you to define. Maybe some of these you found definitions to, maybe some of them you did not. That's okay. We'll cover those in class. Again, a lot of these terms you're going to be hearing over and over again, so it's very familiar as we begin the study to understand what the definition of some of these terms is. Okay, the first one is eschatology. What is eschatology? Right. So that word comes from a Greek term, eschatos, meaning last. And so this is the study or the doctrine of last things. So when you talk about end times, the last days, end time prophecy, that's basically all those terms in the study of end things. Okay, dispensationalism. Here you might have find various different definitions. A particular source I had the study that I, when I did this study, this was a definition for dispensationalism. It says it's a form of premillennialism. The dispensationalism holds to three unique beliefs. One, the distinction between God's plan for the nation of Israel and God's plan for the church. Two, a literal interpretation. And three, the real purpose of God is not man's salvation, but God's glorification. So keep in mind that you'll be hearing about that a lot. Okay, you had another term. It's actually, I think, pronounced chalazm. You want to pronounce it a little bit different, but what did you find for this particular word, chalazm? Right. Now, this particular word, you see it from the slide, is a term that's used in the premillennial view when the emphasis especially placed on the materialistic aspect of the millennium. So it's looking at the earthly kingdom and the physical aspects or the materialistic aspects of it. Now, amillennialism, some of these I want to ask for your input. Amillennialism is what you believe. You say, well, that's how can that be? It's millennialism, but you have the A in front of it, meaning not millennialism. So it's a view that regards the Old Testament prophecy concerning Israel fulfilled in the church. This position holds the church and the kingdom are now in existence and that Christ is ruling now on the throne of David. This position holds that there will be no literal millennium on the earth following the second coming of Christ. And then we have post-millennialism, very similar to millennialism, but the difference is when Christ comes back to the earth. Here in this particular one, it looks to a period of success for the gospel just before the coming of Christ. The name is derived from the fact that this is a theory that Christ returns after the millennium. So pre-millennialism, Christ comes before the reign. Post, he comes after it. Now, there's not a lot of, there's some post-millennialism, but you'll find that ever so often in, when you look at this particular doctrine. Okay, so now let's go to the next one. Apocalyptic literature. How is apocalyptic literature? If someone says, do you possess any apocalyptic literature in your do you have any? What would you tell them? Hopefully you do. But what is this apocalyptic literature? Right. Apocalyptic literature would be books that are very highly figurative in our Bible, like Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and of course Revelation would be in there. Okay, and then we're going to come across this and later in our study about Apocrypha. What is Apocrypha? Right. This term is technically applied to the books which are not included in the canon of the Scriptures. You've heard about these. I mean, in short, they are uninspired writings. An example of this would be literature in Enoch, Baruch, Maccabees, Esdras, and there are many, many more. Yes? Okay, good point, Craig. Okay, here's one that maybe kind of threw you for a loop. Parenthesis. What is parenthesis in this particular doctrine? Anyone find that term?
Interlude.
Okay. Anyone else? What do you think? Pardon? Right. That's the definition in English. Parenthesis, right? We know what parentheses are. We use them all the time. Parentheses. Why do you put parentheses when you're writing? When you want to add something or something's missing? I missed a thought here. I need to kind of explain it, so I put it. Well, in this particular doctrine, what parenthesis is, it's not the grammar, not the parenthesis, but the concept is there. Here in parenthesis is the belief that God stopped the clock for an unspecified period of time, which he called the ages, or the parenthesis. And then at some future date, he will start the clock again. When the clock begins to tick again, there will be 7 years left for the planet Earth. One of the major scriptures used in this position is Daniel 9 and the 70 weeks. Another way to look at this parenthesis is, you're going to see in the doctrine, they say that Christ was unsuccessful in establishing his kingdom. It was against God's plan. This was something, an aberration, was not predicted in the Bible. So now you have this parenthesis, and what goes into parenthesis, according to this doctrine, is the church age. So according to this doctrine, you are now in parenthesis. You are now in the church age. It was not predicted in the Bible because God failed in establishing the kingdom because Christ was crucified. You know, how can the kingdom be established? Where is he? It wasn't established. He died, right? So that prophecy failed. So something had to happen. Parenthesis, the church age. We're now in the church age. So that's what parenthesis is, and you'll see in the Bible, basically, we'll be reading some passages, and we have to put in some parentheses and say, this is the church age according to this doctrine. Okay, theocracy. What is theocracy? Right. So we know Israel was a theocracy, right? It literally means the rule of God. Now, this is in contrast to a monarchy or a democracy or an aristocracy. A theocracy is where the religious and civil law is one without distinction. God was the ruler of Israel in religious matters and in civil times. So So keep this in mind as we look at this study. Be familiar with these terms. A lot of these definitions, if you didn't get them, they're on the slides here, and the slides will be posted along with the audio. So you can get the definitions that are on the overhead. Okay, question number 6. I asked you to do a Google search on premillennialism influence on churches and determine what churches are influenced by this doctrine. So what did you find when you did this search? How widespread is this particular doctrine? Roman Catholics? Okay.
Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, and Anglican.
Okay. Now, some of these churches, you'll find that there may be a tenet. A lot of these churches don't adhere to all the facets of this particular doctrine. Might be one of the best. I never heard about the Roman Catholic Church. I need to investigate that one. I have a list here of some of the churches that I came up with that are influenced by this premillennial doctrine, and it is quite extensive. That's the point. The doctrine is a lot everywhere. And of course, we have the Seventh-day Adventist. They believe in Jesus Christ coming to the earth, and there'll be a millennial rule on the earth. You see, at number 3, the Jehovah's Witness. They believe in a millennium. They also believe in Armageddon and many of these others. Look down to number 5. This is where we were talking about earlier, about evangelical Christians. Right now, Steve sent me an article about Pat Robinson. He is a very strong premillennialist. You can hear it in his TV program, the 700 Club. They're talking a lot about that now, and what's happening here with Russia. And the list goes on. Now, did I make a typo there? What's the last one on that list there? I made a mistake. Churches of Christ? That can't be right. Well, unfortunately, it is. Let me read to you a blog from Danny Dodd. I don't know Danny Dodd, but he on the internet, he was a preaching minister at the Gateway Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. He had some very interesting things. I haven't checked the accuracy of everything he says, but note what he says, having to do with this doctrine in the Church of Christ. And note something, there's a lot of history in this thing that I was unaware of. Just from the very beginning of our Restoration Movement, right? Remember the Restoration Movement? The doctrine of premillennialism was taught and embraced. None other than the father of Restoration Movement, Alexander Campbell, was a believer. And then he put in parentheses a little note here, evidently someone corrected him, that Alexander Campbell was actually a post-millennium believer. But Thomas Campbell had a periodical that he published way back when. It was called the Millennial Harbinger, right? He produced an article that has this doctrine in it. It goes on in this blog to say, later Restoration luminaries, as David Lipscomb and James A. Hardin, continued the premillennial tradition. This doctrine only increased in popularity among Churches of Christ in the early 20th century thanks to the work of a prominent Nashville Bible School product, R.H. Bull and J.N. Armstrong, who was the first president of Harding College. Now, let me just pause here on this blog to make another note. Remember, Brother Steve had a blessed sermon about the colleges and warning that you don't find that in the Bible, that the local church is to be the college. Well, there were colleges. Here you have this Harding College, you had this Nashville Bible College, and you had some prominent men that were teaching the doctrine and had widespread influence, and it spread. I can tell you what the danger is of having a church-sponsored college like that. But anyway, let me pick up with the blog. It says, eventually, though, this doctrine and those who taught it came under attack by Foy E. Wallace, Jr. and H. Leo Bowles. At one point, the very future of Harding College hung in the premillennial wind. Ultimately, the Wallace and Bowles of our fellowship had the way, and this damnable doctrine of premillennialism was pushed to the margin of our movement, but it never completely went away. There are still pockets of premillennial Churches of Christ in southern Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and other places. Now, I'm not personally aware of any churches like that. Anyone in our audience know of any churches that teach premillennial or believe parts of it? According to this blog, there's still some around, but not aware of that. So again, as we find in any false doctrine, it spreads widely. Many people are influenced. Many different peoples of faith are influenced. And so a good reason why we need to be studying this particular topic. And it's kind of interesting, when I was asked to teach this subject many, many months ago by Wally, how interesting how things, you know, of any time we want to have a study, now is the time. Because like Todd pointed out, and maybe you've already seen, you've been hearing a lot about this, that what's happening now is fulfilling biblical prophecy. And they will turn into passages. They say, here, I got it right here. Read this particular verse. It's right here. Well, how are we going to respond to that? And so a reason why we need to have this particular study and to really get into the particular points. Okay, so we got a few minutes left. I want to go ahead and just talk a little bit overall about the class and what our objectives are. And we got four objectives we're going to try to achieve in this class. The first one is to obtain a thorough understanding of this doctrine and its supposed basis from Scripture. We're going to spend at least four class periods, including today, talking about this doctrine and trying to understand its passage, trying to understand the passage they use, trying to understand the reasoning. You know, if you're going to attack a doctrine, it's important to know what their basis is, what do they believe in, and to have some familiarity with that. So that's our first objective. The second objective we will spend the lion's share of our class is be able to refute this false doctrine by providing the Scriptures and its application that undermine its foundation. And so 19 classes, we're going to be working on that, and we're going to be looking at particular passages and points. Spend a lot of time, and I encourage you to answer the questions and see, to take the time to do that, because it's important to establish this foundation, be able to confront this doctrine. Now, we talked about, the study is talking about end times. Well, the Bible does have a lot to say, has some things to say about end times. And so we've got a main purpose of the study is to confront this false doctrine. But at the same time, we want to increase our understanding of the truth concerning Judgment Day, the resurrection, and the end of this physical world, right? So the Holy Spirit has deemed what He wants to reveal to us. He has revealed it to us. And so we need to understand that and understand the points about that. So that's the our third objective. And the last objective here is be able to answer 25 review questions that are at the end of your or your study. So we've been working on these questions quite a bit, and we're in a class to learn these things. We've got certain important questions that we need to answer that are important to confront this doctrine, and I'll ask you to be working on that. Okay, our study approach. So what we're going to do in the study is the study is basically split into the following three divisions. So first of all, kind of lining up with our objectives, we're going to examine this doctrine. We're going to look at its history. How did it come about? Todd was mentioning about, you know, this first word occurred in the 1800s. But you actually find this doctrine goes all the way back to the first century. I mean, what was it called that? But people were believing the facets of that. So the history actually goes way back to the first century. And we'll trace that history there and how it came back to what it believes today. Of course, we're going to refute this doctrine with scriptures, like we talked about. And then we talked about that. Okay, of course, scripture is going to be the source of our study. I have a list of references. If anyone is interested in knowing all my study materials, I'd gladly provide that. Please ask me if you want that. And as we go through that, and the third objective here, now it's important, and I know some of you have done this, and I'm encouraged that you do that, but encouraged to do the work beforehand, right? I'm asking you to fulfill the questions. I went through this material and tried to keep the questions to a minimum, trying to make them so that you could do the work on your own, read the scriptures, answer the question. But it's important that you do the work before class. You will gain tremendously by doing that work. And as you can see, as I go through all my classes, are going to be asking for you to answer these questions. I'm going to require your input. It's best for you to be able to learn these things, so I encourage you to do that. If you were not able to do that today, I encourage you to do that for the remainder of our class. And the last thing we're going to do in terms of our study approach is we will be doing a review, a five-minute review of the 4-H class with a handful of questions. You know, this is a Bible class, right? We're in here to learn. When God made us, He made us such that when we learn, we learn by repetition, right? Anything in life that we do, you don't learn it first time, I got it down, pat. You got to keep doing things over and over again. So we will be doing the review. We're going to be going over these questions, and you might kind of get frustrated. Well, I already answered that question. I know the answer. Well, that's great. But there may be someone next to you that doesn't know the answer, and going through this review over and over again will help them to glean the answer to the particular question. So we will be doing that. Okay, I have the schedule in your notebooks. Let's just kind of look over what we're planning for the next 3 months. We're going to have 26 lessons. And as you can see, the first four lessons, we're going to talk about here the introduction, we'll talk about the premillennial doctrine. The major facets are going to be 10 pillars of this millennial doctrine we're going to look at. We're going to look at each pillar separately. And we're going to look at what they say is how they support this, what scripture they're going to use. And then we'll go to the history that I referred to. And then starting on March the 20th, our fifth lesson, now we're going to get into the different facets, the different pillars of this doctrine. And the first one here is about the land promised fulfilled. What you will find in false doctrine here is important when you try to defend or defeat false doctrine. That false doctrine is built on certain pillars. And once you know what those pillars are, and you attack those pillars, and if you defeat that pillar, destroy that pillar, the whole doctrine falls apart. And the land promise is one of those pillars. The promise made to Abraham. And what they're going to say, premillennialists say, is that was eternal promise. Israel has not realized that yet. They're not in their land. And that's why they say if you're an evangelical Christian, you need to support Israel. Send your tax dollars to support Israel, to defend Israel, because that's their land. God promised their land, and that's going to expand. It's not exactly where it's at today, but it's going to grow. And so it's all hinged on Genesis chapter 12. That promise was unconditional. It was the eternal one. Israel has not received that. And evangelical Christians believe, well, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. You need to support Israel and defend them because it's in the Bible. So we're going to look at the land promise. Was it fulfilled? And there's other promises Abraham made. The other thing you clearly saw by looking at this definition, this doctrine thinks that the kingdom is earthly. This is another pillar. Is the kingdom spiritual earthly? So we'll take a couple of lessons to talk about that. And then as we read our definition, we saw that this doctrine relied very heavily on Revelation 20. That's where they get the 1,000 years. That's where they get Christ is coming back to the earth. That's where they're going to reign with Christ 1,000 years. Where do they get that? Revelation 20. So we're going to spend three classes kind of going through Revelation 20. And then the last days. Last days are in the Bible. There's a lot of references to the last days. And of course, people will read that and say, last days, well, that's the end of time. And you'll find that I'm trying to remember if there's one occurrence in the Bible which I believe the last days refer to the end of time. They're not end of physical earth. But that's how they're used. And a lot talked about that. And people say, we're now in the end of times. We're in that period now today in this world. Well, are we? What is these last days in the Bible? And I refer to Antichrist. And I mentioned earlier, Putin's already been called the Antichrist. Is he Antichrist? What is the Antichrist? Is it in the Bible? Where? What does it mean? And so we'll cover that. And then Matthew 24, I'll cover that. Daniel, talk about the rapture. People are going to be hearing this. We're close to the rapture. Everything's going to happen. And things are starting to line up. That's going to happen pretty soon. Well, what is the rapture? Is that in the Bible? And actually, do you believe it? People say, yes, the rapture's in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's there. That's the rapture. Well, what does that talk about? Well, we're going to cover that. And we talk about the resurrection, we talk about the millennium, the battle of Armageddon. And then the 21st lesson, May 15th, we're going to look at premillennial and look at scripture, kind of compare the two, kind of a wrap-up study. And the last part of the class we're going to look at, like we mentioned, our fourth objective is to understand what the Bible says about the judgment day. And we're going to look at a bunch of different passages, and there's a lot of information there about that. And we'll look at the implications, and the last class will be our review. So hopefully you'll find that in this class it'll be very beneficial. We're going to cover a lot of territory. It's going to be quite extensive. Like I said, we're going to be talking about Genesis. We're going to be going to Daniel. We're going to the Gospel. We're going to the New Testament letters. We're going to Revelation and back and forth. And so hopefully it'll be a very beneficial study for y'all. Okay, last of all, I'm running early. You've seen in the class handout or the notebook, or the handout that I gave you that had the full set of lessons, this picture here. And you may be wondering, what in the world is Rocky going crazy here? What's this picture about? You have any ideas why I put this picture up for premillennialism? Any idea? Right. So this is the millennium period. This is the reign on the earth. And where do they get that? Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. And there's, you can also go to Isaiah chapter 2, talking about pieces of that. So Isaiah chapter 11, and this, they say this is the millennial kingdom on earth. And this is what they will say. Isaiah 11 and 6. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them, and the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for all the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so this picture is referring to the millennial time on the earth. And the picture here is kind of a description of what I just read here out of Isaiah 11, 6-9. Okay, well, we're early. We got 5 minutes early. So any comments, questions about anything that we said here? Any thoughts? I can't overemphasize the importance of doing the lesson before class. Again, I try to make it as easy as possible. You'll learn most from by doing the work and prepare yourself to understand this doctrine and be able to defend it. You've got to use the scriptures and understand what the scriptures are. And by you actually doing the work before class and then hearing me go through it will help you achieve that objective. Okay, well, we're early, so if there's nothing else... Yes. So that's when we get the lesson about, and we, as you know, about what we're told about the end of time and Judgment Day, how it would be unexpected, don't know about it. So, again, they will use Scripture to defend their position. So it's quite extensive. The time I did this work, it's been some while, and probably the numbers have changed, and you'll see a lot of it. When I did the study, it was a lot on the History Channel TV. A lot of the religious programs right now are talking a lot about this particular, what's happening and tying it back to this particular doctrine. Okay, well, that's all I had. We'll go ahead and dismiss class, and I've got a few minutes extra and encourage you to our next class. We're going to actually get into the doctrine, the premillennial doctrine. I mentioned about there's 10 elements of this particular doctrine, and we're going to look at the first six. I encourage you to look over the material, and there's some questions to answer for the material. So that's all I had. Class dismissed.